words of eternal life. My Savior calls to me. Words of peace and comfort bring peace to the heart. Lord, you have words of life. Lord, you have words of joy. Words of eternal refreshing. Words of glory. Words of full redemption run through lands and sea. Words of full salvation. You who are heavy laden, come hither. Lords, you have words of life. You have words of joy. Words of eternal refreshing. Words of glory. Words of the mighty King. Strengthen the faith in the one. Words of eternal home. We lift up the pilgrim. Lord, you have words of life. Lord, you have words of joy. Words of eternal refreshing. Words of glory. Words of treasures and crowns. Garments all shining and white. Words of the victorious Lamb, crowned with honor and prize. Lord, you have words of life. Lord, you have words of joy. Words of eternal refreshing. Words of glory. Words of the radiant bridegroom. Call the waiting bride. Words, yes, come my Lord Jesus. Rejoice. What can be more wonderful? And what can be more blessed than when we dedicate our lives to the Lord in faith? I love my Savior. I love my Savior. His name is so sweet, so sweet. His name is so sweet. Though the lips be silent, yet the heart prayeth. And the thoughts are continually ascending to heaven. I love my Savior. I love my Savior. His name is so sweet. His name is so sweet to me. We hardly suspect what will happen next. It will be as if we see everything in a dream. I love my Savior. I love my Savior. His name is so sweet. His name is so sweet. His name is so sweet to me. To this program, our biblical word reflection with Brother Frank, we welcome all brothers and sisters worldwide. We are thankful to God for the privilege of hearing God's revealed word in this time in which we live. May the Lord give grace to speak and to hear this morning. Before Brother Frank speaks to us, I read a word of introduction from the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 1. Verse 1 and 2, and the first sentence of verse 3. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to preach the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Up to here, this word of God. Please, Brother Frank. Beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord, I also greet you in the precious and holy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have heard the word of introduction, the message of salvation, as proclaimed in advance by the prophets. And this may be, not to say must be, this must be re-emphasized in every sermon, that God strictly does everything according to His word. The whole plan of salvation and also history in general has been announced in advance. And that is how everything proceeds and happens. And I would like to place special emphasis on saying that the New Testament began with a promise from Malachi 3, verse 1. Behold, I send my messenger before me. And that the New Testament Church ends exactly like this. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. This promise, as the last, before the day of the Lord, at the end of the day of salvation, was clearly emphasized again by our Lord in Matthew 17. Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. And I just say it right at the beginning of our devotion. It pleased the Lord to call Brother Branham to bring the message, the last message. And then he says, with emphasis, not that I will forerun the second coming of Christ, but the message will forerun the second coming of Christ. He, the greatest man of God of all time, has carried out his commission. God has confirmed, and we thank the Lord that after the prophet went home, the precious, holy message of the whole word and counsel of God could be carried to all the world. And as the Lord Himself said, when you see all these things coming to pass that are promised for the last days, then lift up your heads, for you know that your redemption draweth nigh. There will be no more prophet, because no prophet has been promised. God's word is fulfilled, and we thank the Lord from our hearts for it. And now we go further into our word reflection. We read from 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God.
Amen.
This is what it is all about. The gospel, the message of salvation, the word. Not as men, but as it is inspired by the Spirit of God, then written down and now revealed and passed on anew. Not as men, but as the Spirit of God gave it by grace, so we pass on God's holy word in the original. Please, we read from Luke 10, Luke 10, verse 27. And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. To this we say Amen. The four things listed here, that we are to love our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, and then, as a conclusion, with all our mind. Let me say this humbly, but from the heart, and ask the question, in whom and through whom are these four conditions fulfilled? All can say, I love God. But in their thinking, they pass by God. They do not even think of going back to what God has said. What good is it for me to say, I love God, if I pass by what He has to say to us through His word? Beloved brothers and sisters, let us say it from the heart, without judging. The whole world thinks past God, walks past God, and all the theologians teach past God. Basically, everything bypasses God, unless God gives us grace and we return to Him and His Word in reverence and are willing to believe only that, to teach only that, to practice only that which God has said in His Word and which has been witnessed here. Let us reflect and also do the last from the heart, that we love God with all our mind, and then with all our soul, with all our strength, with all that we are and have, that we love God, knowing in His thoughts, His Word, that it has been written down. The thoughts of God have been written down in the Word of God. And only those who believe as the Scriptures have said, honor God, love God. So, not only with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, but from today on, with all our thinking, let us love God with all our heart. Please, we read from Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verse 3 and 4. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. These two verses are also of utmost importance. All who were in Israel know, when you are on the Mount of Olives, you look over Gethsemane all the way to the Temple Mount and have all of Jerusalem before you. And the disciples went to our Lord, sat down with him, and they asked him, they asked Jesus, whom do you ask? To whom do you go? Whom do you sit with when you talk about the end times? From now on, let us really just sit at the feet of Jesus. Ask him, when will it happen? What is the sign of your return? And what about the end of the world? Not a theologian, not a professor, not a Bible teacher, not anyone, but let us ask Jesus himself. And we may say, in this word, he gave his disciples all three answers. And today we have the three answers in the Word of God. In Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. Every question has been answered and is written in the Holy Scriptures. And for that, we are thankful with all our heart. We could now respond to the signs of the times. We could go into what the Lord said for Israel at that time, that they would be scattered and the temple destroyed. We could go into all the things that the Lord said would precede the second coming of Christ. After all, we live in that time. We are seeing the things that our Lord has told us, fulfilled before our eyes. Wars, rumors of wars, famines, costly times, disasters of every kind, perplexity, everything is there. The Lord has foretold it to us. And our task is to draw the attention of God's people to what our Lord has said. And we are thankful that he has blessed, sent, and used Brother Branham in a special way to bring these things to our attention. But now, we are not sitting at the feet of Paul or of Brother Branham. We are sitting at the feet of Jesus. And we are not just reading one gospel. We are reading every gospel. We are reading all the epistles up to the book of Revelation. We read, and in doing so, we sit at the feet of Jesus and hear what he has to say to us. In this regard, too, the word applies that we love the Lord, our God, with all our mind, which must be altogether in the Bible, with all our heart and with all our soul. To our God be the glory. Please, we read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians 15, from verse 51 and 52. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Praise be to our Lord. What did we read in Matthew 24, verse 2? Take heed that no man deceive you. And this in connection with the subject of the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Take heed that no man deceive you, for they will say, Christ is here and Christ is there. Many false prophets and false Christs will appear, will present their teachings, as now recently a man is pretending to be a prophet. I do not want to go into it. No, take heed that no man deceive you. I thank God that it is written that the elect cannot be deceived. The elect are God's holy property, and they love God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their strength, and with all their mind. The return of our Lord will take place as it is described to us in detail in several scriptures of the Bible. If anyone says that Christ is here or there, do not listen at all and do not receive such people. So, let us give thanks to the Lord, who will come again to take his own, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive will be changed. For this mortal body will put on immortality. This is God's holy word, and so we believe it. Please, we read from 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1, verse 14-16. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance.
Während eurer Unwissenheit gehegt habt, sondern werdet nach
But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation.
In eurem ganzen Wandel heilig.
Amen.
Amen. Brothers and sisters, this is a precious word addressed to all of us. Now we must forget our own thinking and actually let ourselves be placed into the word and will of God. I am not saying this to present myself in any way, but I come from a believing home. I consecrated my life to the Lord early, already at the age of 14, and I may say, the consecration has remained throughout my whole life. Really, I have not danced one dance, not smoked one cigarette, not once sat at the beer table with the scoffers. I have truly, by God's grace, consecrated my life to the Lord. And therefore, I may say to all, I have never in my life watched a movie, never attended a theater, not even once. God has so directed it. Not even once have I seen any so-called peculiar film. Not once Have my eyes seen anything, let me say, that goes over into the sexual realm? Not even once. I have consecrated my life to God once and for all. And as you know, I started preaching and serving the Lord at the age of 17. So the time has come for us to renounce the world, of the lust of the world, of the worldly things and desires, to consecrate our lives completely to God. And as he himself said in this word, that we should be holy as he was holy, consecrated to God, devoted to God in every way. And that is where the word belongs again, that we also honor God in this respect with all our thinking, thinking as he thinks, believing as he has said in his word. This is our time, which God has given us, separated, called out, totally and completely devoted to the Lord, being at his disposal, and thus to experience personally and practically our preparation for the return of Jesus Christ. Please, we read from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Amen. Brothers and sisters, what do you say to such words? We are sitting at the feet of Jesus today. Even if we are not with him on the Mount of Olives, he promised, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. He is speaking to us today. We have sat down at his feet, and we have read that he will bring home a church that will be perfect, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. Can you believe that? I believe it, because God has said so. And that is why we may always praise the power of the blood of the Lamb of God. The blood of the new covenant has offered a perfect sacrifice, total forgiveness, total deliverance, total redemption, total reconciliation. We have become children of God from children of men, and we thank the Lord God for it. Please believe from today onwards that you personally belong to it when the Lord will take home his bride church, which will be holy, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, fully prepared to meet the heavenly Bridegroom. Oh, may it happen that the Holy Spirit makes the words of God become divine reality in us, that we think in these thoughts of God. I too want to be there when you come. Give me grace to put off the old man and to be renewed in the most inner part, and then to have the assurance of faith that we are now hearing the last message. And as certain as we believe the promise for our time, so certain will God see to it that we will serve Him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, and with all our thinking in all areas. And so it will come to pass, as it did with Enoch, that God's well-pleasing rested upon him, and that he walked with God, and that he was raptured. Only when God's well-pleasing rests on us and we walk with God in accordance with the Word of God, will we experience the final goal, which is the rapture. And I truly thank the Lord almost daily for the grace He has given me to experience the rapture. All the promises of God are yes and are amen. The Lord will bring His bride church home. He will return and we will be part of it. Please, we read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Have we all read along? Did we listen? Nothing needs to be said about this. Everything has been said here. We read on. We read from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 to 25. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body.
Amen.
Amen. Nothing more needs to be said about this either. All that has been said, we receive and accept without any resistance. We read on. We read from Timothy, 1 Timothy, chapter 2,
from
verse 11 to 15. Let the woman learn in silence, with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and love and holiness with sobriety.
Amen.
Amen. Here too, nothing more needs to be said. Dear sisters, receive and accept everything as it is written. Beloved brothers, accept everything as it is written. We all know what happened in the Garden of Eden, and we all know that Adam was created first, and we all know that Eve was taken out of Adam and was given back to him. But then came the moment that Brother Branham mentioned dozens of times, mentioned with great pain, the moment when Satan, the old serpent, got Eve under his influence to question what God had said to Adam. Should God really have said, and with that it happened. The fall was the consequence of one woman listening to what the enemy said. And therefore, the emphasis also here in the New Testament that the Lord God wants to give grace that all women become aware of, listening only to what God has said in His Word, not what the Spirit of the Age says, the Zeitgeist, but what the Holy Spirit says. The fall was the most terrible thing throughout all of history, from eternity. And that's why, because it was so terrible. After all, there was no death, no pain. There was nothing of all that has come upon mankind since the fall. But in Christ, that what happened through the fall has been made good for all those who accept what God has given us, namely complete redemption, liberation, so that we have become children of God from children of men, As our Lord himself could say, ye are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. We, as believers, as Bible believers, are predestined as children of God, as sons and daughters of God, before the foundation of the world, to accept and live according to what God has done through the redemption. Also, all the sisters who have died with Christ, who can sincerely say, now I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Then all the words of the Scripture are lived out to the point of thinking. Thinking is the main thing in this sermon, that we should love our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, and with all our mind. Dear brother, love God with all your thinking, with all your strength. Dear sister, do the same. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your thinking. Forget your own thoughts, your own judgment. Think in the thoughts of God as they are written down for us in the Word of God. And you will live a life pleasing to the Lord. And marriage and family will be blessed. Please, we read from Hebrews 13, verse 4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. May this word also go to the heart of all. Excuse me if I use an expression that does not belong here, but the Holy Scripture says it. Let the husband fulfill his marriage duty to his wife, and the wife to the husband. Read 1 Corinthians 7 and other scriptures. But the marriage bed is not a whorehouse. It is not a fornication house. The marriage bed should remain undefiled. May God also grant grace that marriage be conducted in this way. Let the husband do his duty to his wife and the wife to her husband, but in the divine order, that we also think in the way God has intended for us, and that we can love God with all our heart and with all our soul, and not belong to those who open up some device and then watch what all is done in the sexual area. Women with women, men with men, and this and that. May God preserve us. I dare to say that no brother who has such a device will be in the rapture. It is a disgrace, a sin, a blasphemy, as if there was no tomorrow. And the Holy Scripture also says it, a man will leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. No man can stay at home and start a new family. He must leave his own home forever, father and mother, and must start his own family. On this point too, everyone must think as God has said in his word, and only then will marriage work if it is kept according to the word of God. The husband no longer belongs to the daddy and the mommy. The husband belongs to the wife and the newly formed family. May God grant grace to this too, that really everything, brothers and sisters, that in all homes, in all marriages, in all families, God's order is established, that we no longer have anything condemnable with us, but with everything we do, that we can stand our ground before God and live a life pleasing to Him. Please, we read as the last scripture from Romans 15, verse 16, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. You know very well what was said in the calling of Paul. I will send you far away to the Gentiles. And if you go to the book of Acts 13, there it is written exactly where Paul said to the Jews, because you do not accept it, we turn to the Gentiles. For thus it is written, I have made you a light of the Gentiles. But Paul did not only want people to believe, he wanted those who had become believers to be offered to the Lord, that those who had become believers would be ready at the return of Jesus Christ, that his work in the kingdom of God would not have been in vain, but that a bright church pleasing to the Lord would be brought from the Gentile nations. And brothers and sisters, did not the Lord say in Matthew 24, the gospel of the kingdom of God will be preached to all nations? Did not Brother Branham say, this last message will cover the whole earth? We are not only thinking of June the 11th, 1933. I'm also thinking of the 11th of June, 1958. When the man of God told me in Dallas, Texas, Brother Frank, you will return to Germany with this message. And I think of his mighty statement in Zurich, also in June 1955. I saw the German eagle flying over Africa and then the whole world to bring the last message. And all know that the ends of the earth have been reached. I personally have only been able to preach in 165 countries, but the end time message has reached and come to all the countries of the earth, and the scriptures have been fulfilled before our eyes, and therefore we give thanks to the Lord. And we say, as it is written, the Lord God is not slack with the promise of the return, but waits until the last ones are added. We thank the Lord God that truly out of all peoples, tongues, and nations, the people of God, the firstborn, all the sons and daughters of God, all who belong to the bride church, have been called out, and they all sit down at the feet of Jesus. Not at the feet of a man who suddenly says, I am now the prophet. He is a liar, but not a prophet. No, listen to no one and to nothing. The last prophet has come, has done his service, and has gone home. And the message that was to forerun the second coming of Christ has now forerun. You all know, even though I have now been able to make the journey to Zurich on the 10th of July, and on this occasion, I would like to greet everyone in Switzerland, Austria, in all the neighboring countries, and also in the whole world. But my commission to travel is over. My commission is fulfilled. And now, Brother Branham's old sermons from the 60s and ours from the 80s are being broadcast worldwide 3 times a week, and all can hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches, and all who are of God let themselves be personally addressed and corrected, and say, Beloved Lord, I too want that your well-pleasing rests upon me, that every sister can say, Beloved husband, I want to live with you according to the word of God, that with every husband it is fulfilled, and he can say, My beloved wife, I want to love you with all my heart, as Christ loved the church, that truly both meet each other with God's word in their mouths, not with accusations, but with God's word in their mouths, and then embrace each other. After all, families are part of the church. You cannot separate the families from the church. And so, may God grant grace that with all young people, with all adults, with all brothers, with all sisters, really, with all of us, every word of God addressed to us may find fulfillment, and we may be a well-pleasing possession of our Lord. For we know that the rapture can happen at any moment. Everything has been fulfilled so far, and we thank the Lord for every day that we may still experience. So once again, may all in all of Europe, in all of Asia, all of Africa, on all the continents, be blessed with the blessing of Almighty God. And may the four qualities be manifested in us and through us and through our lives by grace. Thanks be to the Lord for the promise we believe that He is coming again to take us home. Thanks be to the Lord that it is written, and His bride has made herself ready. Thanks be to the Lord that it is written, those who were ready went in with Him to the marriage supper, and I want you all to be part of it. Be blessed with the blessing of Almighty God. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Let us stand up for prayer. Brother Borg will pray with us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word that we have heard this morning. Your word is spirit and life. Your word is effective. Your word accomplishes on those who believe it what you have sent it for. We thank you. You have given grace to speak this morning, and you have given grace to hear. Bless all the listeners this morning who have heard your word, all brothers and sisters worldwide. We thank you for this last message. Lord, we believe what the scripture says. Thank you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
Have you been to Jesus for the glory?